हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 74. The other gopi, characterized by a slightly reverential embrace, was an independent lover, Svadina, of the submissive group, Dakshina, with explicit expression of affection, Marusneha, possessive, mixed with Gritasneha, reverence. That gopi was Shamala, a member of the friendly group to Radha, Surit Paksha. Right, because she has her own group, but she doesn't function as a Yutishwar, even though she technically is. So she just, assist within Radharani's group. But she's senior. Like that. This is when the Acharyas give the list of them. When they list her, they put her between Lalita and Vishakha. So she's not one of the Astasakhi. She's an independent, but she's on that kind of platform. Right? You had something? Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued. A slender gopi respectfully took in her joined hands the betel nut he had chewed, and another gopi, burning with desire, put his lotus feet on her breast. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One gopi took Krishna's chewed tambulan in her folded hands. She was a member of the Dakshina group, dependent with friendship almost of the Dasya mood. Another gopi took Krishna's right lotus foot and placed it on her breast while sitting on the earth. Supporting himself with his left hand on the shoulder of a gopi, he was standing on his left foot. The seated gopi was also of the Dakshina group, dependent with Dasya almost of friendly mood. Right, so here you have Dasya almost of friendly, and the other is friendly with almost Dasya. Like that. Both are Grita Sneha, reverential, thinking of themselves as belonging to Krishna, Sakis of Chandravali, Padma, and Shaibya. Because right? Padma and Shaibya are Chandravali's Lalita and Vishakha. You know, that's how it works. That's why you see in the nectar devotion, then when Rupa Goswami is offering respects to the gopis, you know, then all the different ones, he also mentions Padma and Shaibya, like that, Shamala. Like this, he mentions these different ones that we may not be familiar with, but they're the prime because they're part of the eight, right? You have Lalita, Vishakha, then you have Padma and Shaibya, like that. So these are all within the main eight, right? So Radharani, Chandravali, and then these four, so that's six, and then there's another two, like that. Sukadeva Goswami continued, one gopi, beside herself with loving anger, bit her lips and stared at him with frowning eyebrows, as if to wound him with her harsh glances. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, one gopi, arching her brows like a bow, helplessly subject to the anger of love, aimed arrow glances at Krishna as if to shoot him. O leader of rogues, you have been completely successful in administering the halahala poison of prema to me. Why are you again approaching me to burn my life airs, which have almost left my body? I can understand very well who you are. This is the mood she revealed as she glanced upon him. She bit her lips, hiding them with her hand, as an expression of anger. This gopi exhibited jealousy, man, arising from Madhusneha, thinking of Krishna as hers. This gopi was Radha. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Another gopi looked with unblinking eyes upon his lotus face, but even after deeply relishing its sweetness, she did not feel satiated. Just as mystic saints are never satiated when meditating upon the Lord's feet. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, it should be understood that Krishna cast his full glance with full mind upon that gopi. In the previous verse, who was glaring at him with furrowed brows and did not divert himself to anyone, to anyone else at all. Seeing that Krishna was inattentive to herself, the gopi mentioned in this verse, without shyness, looked at Krishna directly and leisurely with both eyes. Because otherwise, he's not looking, so then she can look directly. Because if he looks, they won't look directly. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, because she looked at him face on, she is a Prakara Gopi, Shushakya and Vama, and an independent woman, since she stays in her own place thinking he will come to me. Footnote 27. The Vama Shakis are imperious by nature, and when they feel slighted, they quickly embrace the loving sentiment of Man. Withdrawn temper tantrum that does not easily wane away. Further, they do not submit easily to the wishes of the Nayaka. These are the characteristics of the Vama Shakis. Such as Lalita Devi, who is a Vama Prakara Gopi in Srimati Radhika's Yuta, Jiva Dharma, chapter 36. Right, so Prakara, I think, also means very, can't remember exactly, very intense.
Yeah, very intense.
Yes.
Agitated.
Yeah, so very intense. So then we can understand from this that this would be Lalita, right? Because she's looking at Krishna, at Radharani, he's looking, and then so she can look directly like that. The gopi with unblinking eyes described in verse 7 as Lalita, since Radha is similar to Lalita, who has Vamya and Prakara mood. But now she did not show intense Vamya, since she was satisfied on seeing that he was disturbed by the sharp glances of Radha. Right? So she's just looking and appreciating that aspect. But it's not that she doesn't have to be angry, because Radha's angry, and he's responding well to that. So therefore now she can be satisfied. But now she did not show intense Vamya, since she was satisfied on seeing that he was disturbed by the sharp glances of Radha. Her other name is Anuradha, mentioned in the Bhavishyotara quote. Anuradha can mean she who follows Radha. Because the two names are mentioned together as Radhanuradha, they belong to the same group. They are the two principal gopis of the Vamya group, since they are also mentioned next to each other in the Bhagavatam verses. Because they'll be the main. Because in that it'll go Radharani, then Chandravali, simply because they're the two heads. But then when it goes into that, then it'll say Lalita and Vishakha. Then it'll say, mention Padma and Shaivya. Right? So the left is always above the right. Like that. But the main will be above the others. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued, one gopi took the Lord through the aperture of her eyes and placed him within her heart. Then, with her eyes closed and her bodily hair standing on end, she continuously embraced him within. Thus, immersed in transcendental ecstasy, she resembled a yogi meditating upon the Lord. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, one gopi, understanding that Krishna was fickle and even if he comes will go away, took him into her heart, thinking he would escape through her eye holes. She closed her eyes. Right? So she's seeing him and then thinking he might escape because he might move, so she closed her eyes so that she can have him within the heart and he can't escape. Her body erupted in goosebumps because of the unobstructed enjoyment of union with Krishna. She stood there in a pose of embracing Krishna to her chest with her arms, her sense control being absent due to intense thirst at the end of long separation, and her shyness absent due to outsiders not gazing on her. The gopis mentioned in verses 6, 7, and 8, because they did not go to the side of their beloved, are understood to be of the uncooperative type, Vamana. They thought he should come to us. We should not go to him. From this mentality, it can be understood that these three gopis, being possessive and with madhu sneha, were very intimate with Krishna and brought him under their control. Among the three, the gopis mentioned in verse 6 is Radha, the leader of the best group. Those mentioned in verse 7 and 8 are her shakis. So then you get, yes. So that's... So, by affection, then that control is there. So we see is because the affection is so much greater than of Radharani and her group, then they will bring Krishna to come to them. Well, the others, they have great affection for Krishna. That shouldn't be doubted. But they will go to Krishna. Right? So we see in this category, Mahabhav, that group who goes to Krishna, they're on the lowest level. Then those who Krishna comes to them, they're on the... that middle level, and then Radharani is on the topmost. Yes.
Maharaj, you see here that each personality, they know who they are fully, so they then know what role to play, what move, and what situation.
Yes, yes.
We see that in our conditioned state, sometimes we may overextend ourselves in various different roles, trying to figure out where we fit. So, how do we learn to actually play the right role at the right time?
Be aware of the symptoms around us, because we're working means besides doing our work, we also have to work with the environment as it changes. Like, as if we're doing an action, we have to do the action according to the environment we're doing the action in. So even though we may plan to function in one way, as the scenario adjusts, then we adjust for that. And that way then we don't have to worry about the, you know, because overextension means we're acting in a way that's not appropriate, right? So then we see the environment and then adjust for that, you know? So if we go into a situation and we thought that we would just kind of hang out there, but then we find that they want us to be, they expect us to do more, or we thought we'd come in, we'd do more, and they expect us to, someone else is going to do that, or, you know, whatever it is that's going on, we adjust with that. We can't be attached to our concept of it, because that's the point, is that it's a concept, but interaction is dynamic, so you have to go by what's happening at that time. Or you thought, okay, well, I'll go up there, it'll be very peaceful, I'll sit down, I'll do my work, but when you get there, then it's insanity. So you can't apply, you can't just go in the middle of that and sit down and do your email while everything's turning upside, you know what I'm saying? Like that, you know. Unless you're, there are occasions when you can do that, but whatever. So the whole idea is that we adjust according to how the environment's adjusting. Does that make sense? Then it starts to work.
I was thinking that this particular moment, it's a rare occasion when all the groups of gopis are there.
Yes.
And then everybody expresses their own mood.
Yes.
Because usually Krishna meets them separately. It doesn't happen very often.
No, that's why it's called Maharas. So it's a rare thing. Because then they're all there together. But for them all to be together, they do have to understand Radharani's prominence. Otherwise, then to increase the natural affection, you're with a particular group and all that, so then it itself can increase greatly. Does that make sense? So it's just different aspects. So this Maharas then appears that it happens on this Purnima. And the other times, then they're doing, you know, more specific. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, since the gopi mentioned in this verse is Vamya mixed with Mardhava, softness, she is Vishaka, right? Because it means Radharani is the middle of left. Lalita is the left of left, and Vishaka will be the right of left. So when it talks about Radharani's group, that they're right or left, it means within left, not that they're right wing or left wing. They're right within left, and left within left. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is formulas, we always have to understand that they can apply within themselves also. Right? They apply to a generic, but they can also apply within themselves. Like Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, then you can take these three within Sambandha. Does that make sense? Or within Abhideya, or within Prayojana. So it always functions in that way. You know, just like you say masculine and feminine, then you may take the masculine and feminine within each. So how they're going to function. So you have to be able to appreciate that. That makes it work very nicely, because otherwise if we get stuck to it, it just happens in this particular way, then so many questions of logic come up because it doesn't seem to make sense. Right? Yeah. Bhadra, the eighth principal gopi, not mentioned in these verses of Bhagavatam, is a Tathasta gopi, said she does not belong to either group, Vama or Dakshina, and is not described by Sukadeva. Right? So he's not describing them. Shyamala, so then here it's mentioned that Shyamala and Bhadra are the other two. Mm-hmm. So they're both independents, but one is independent but in Radharani's group, and the other is independent and in neither group. Like that. So it appears that she also may be keeping her own group. Because these are all Yukteswaras, they all are heads of groups. Like that. Shyamala is the head of a group, but she just functions in Radharani's group. Does that make sense? So technically then Lalita, Vishakha, like that, they're also heads of groups, but they function within Radharani's. Does that make sense? So for Shyamala then her independent nature, she's independent, but she chooses to work with Radharani. So she could be in that independent position with others. But with Radharani's group, then she is favorable. Does that make sense?
Radharani is also Yukteswara?
She's the Yukteswara.
But her group is the main eight gopis?
No.
How's
those? See, we're talking two groups of eight here. You have the eight main gopis of the 16,108, you know, who are all the main gopis. So that's what we mentioned here, mm-hmm. Right? But when we say the Astasakhi, means that each Yukteswari will have her group of eight friends. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. And so that's a different eight. So then when she's there, then her group will be around her. Like that. So it just happens with Radharani that she has, you know, three of these under her. And Chandravali has two under her, and then Bhadra's independent. So. Śrīla Sanātana Gosvāmī writes, I offer my respects to the eight beloveds of Krishna, Chandravali, Bhadra, Padma, Shaibya, Shyama, Vishakha, Lalita, and Radha. The reason their names are not directly mentioned in these verses has been explained. Though they do not have great difference in their prema, since each attained the highest experience in meeting Krishna, they each acted according to their bhava or according to their desire at that moment. Distinguishing some difference in these gopis who are worshipable by liberated souls and are superior to the associates in Vaikuntha. Among the eight, Radha is famous as the best in all ways. According to that consideration, their bhavas and actions have been described individually. Right? So she's the best. And then from that, all the others then are described in relationship to that. So that's the whole point, is that when you have a standard, then from that you can judge everything else. But the point is, the standard becomes relishable because of all these other aspects. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, it is said in the Skanda Purana that out of many thousands of gopis, 16,000 are prominent. Out of those 16,000, 108 are especially prominent. Out of those 108, eight gopis are still more prominent. Out of those eight gopis, Radharani and Chandravali are even more prominent. And out of these two gopis, Radharani is the most prominent. Right, so that's the hierarchy in the gopis. Right? So. Sukadeva Goswami continued, all the gopis enjoyed the greatest festivity when they saw their beloved Keshava again. They gave up the distress of separation, just as people in general forget their misery when they gain the association of a spiritually enlightened person. Encircled by the gopis, who are now relieved of all distress, Lord Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, shone forth splendidly. Right? Because when his opulences are expanded, then his beauty increases. Right? If he's Atmarama, then you see less of that beauty. It means he's already always attractive. But when his energies expand, he becomes more beautiful. Thus, my dear king, Krishna thus appeared like the Supersoul encircled by his spiritual potencies. 28. Srila Sukadev, I was just thinking of Sukadev calling him Sauri. So then by using that term, we can understand which group he's in. It's coming up also, okay. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 10 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhuri Ma, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, as a man attains splendor when endowed with the power of all his senses, and without that power of his senses appears miserable, when Krishna, saddened by the sadness of the gopis, he does not look splendid. When the gopis appear splendid after the pain of separation has ceased, Krishna appears more beautiful. As a man is happy when his senses are happy and sad when his senses are sad, so Krishna is happy when the gopis are happy and sad when they are sad. This reveals Krishna's great prema for the gopis, and the gopis as direct emanation, Sarup Bhuta, from the form of Krishna. Right, so that's the whole point. So when they're separated, he also tastes that taste of separation. Like that. And then when they're together, then he tastes that happiness. Right? So it goes together. Sukadev Goswami continued. The Almighty Lord then took the gopis with him to the bank of the Kalindi, who, with the hands of her waves, had scattered piles of soft sand upon the shore. In that auspicious place, the breeze, bearing the fragrance of blooming kunda and mandara flowers, attracted many bees, and the abundant rays of the autumn moon dispelled the darkness of night. Right, so you can see soft sand means we can understand it's very fine. Right, when it's coarse, it's not very soft. Like that. Like on the beaches of the ocean, if you fall on the beach, it can get grays, because it's not soft. But if you have the fine sand, even if you fall in, it's very soft. You don't get... So this is very nice for sitting and walking and everything. Their heartache vanquished by the ecstasy of seeing Krishna, the gopis, like the personified Vedas before them, felt their desires completely fulfilled. For their dear friend Krishna, they arranged a seat with their shawls, which were smeared with the kumkum powder from their breasts. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, in the Brihad Vamana Purana, it is said that the Upanishads, in order to train bodies of gopis, perform severe austerities following after the gopis' passion. The Upanishads themselves say, the women of Braja attain the nectar of his lotus feet, having their intelligence vanquished by the sharp poison in the form of the beauty of his arms, appearing like snakes. We will take bodies of gopis and attain his lotus feet, following after the gopis. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:89-23. So that's coming up at the end of this canto. Sukadev Goswami continues. So they're saying they're following like them, but it, we see is that actually the personified Vedas are following the gopis. Sukadev Goswami continued. Lord Krishna. Seeing Krishna in a previous yuga, all the Upanishads became eager to enjoy with Krishna, and in this present cycle attained bodies of gopis. Those Upanishads in this yuga cycle who desire to enjoy with Krishna will become gopis in the next yuga. When Krishna appeared in Gokula, it should be understood that the Upanishads are unlimited in number. Because the Upanishads are about the glory of Krishna. So the Upanishads who are in this yuga, like who are personified Vedas in this yuga, then they'll become gopis in the next time Krishna appears. Right? Does that make sense? because they're with Brahma, so it's not a problem. So those who are the gopis in this Kali Yuga, right? This manifestation, they were the Upanishads yesterday in Brahma's day. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are in Brahma's day today, they will be gopis in tomorrow's pastimes in Braja. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there's unlimited of them, so there's not a problem. So when they're talking about the personified Vedas being a group of the gopis, then that's something that's always going on. Mm-hmm. Like that. You have something? They recycle.
Reciting the Vedas.
Reciting the Vedas.
Reciting.
I thought you were saying recycling and trying to give an answer. See, even the Vedas are recycling. It's an eternal principle. Means they themselves know that Shastra so well that they personify that Shastra. So they're in Brahma's court. And so in discussions that need, let's say, for this case, Upanishadic context, then they can speak. So when it says personified Vedas, it just means they know that particular Shastra so well. So you have a personified Gita, personified Bhagavatam, so you have the Shrutis, the Smritis, the Puranas, you have all these different groups, and depending upon what's being discussed, then sometimes they agree and sometimes they don't. You know, so one group is talking, the other groups are going, you know, it's like that. You know, so it depends upon what the topic is.
Earlier, when you mentioned Shrutichari gopis.
The Shrutichari, these are the Shrutichari gopis. Yes. Yeah? Yes. So the Shrutichari gopis are the personified Vedas, are the Upanishads, it's the same, just different, right? Shruti as opposed to Smriti. Because there are Smritis, who personified Smritis, so they're personified Shrutis. And of Shrutis, they are Upanishads. So that's why they could be called by any of the three. Is that okay?
Can we say that? Because every day of Brahma, you know, like in every Kali Yuga, you know, we have these Upanishads who on the next day of Brahma become gopis. So we can say that...
Not every Kali Yuga. Once in a day of Brahma.
Yeah,
there's 1,000 Kali Yugas. Once in a day of Brahma in the 7th Manvantara in the 28th, you know, Kali Yuga. And there, then Krishna comes personally as Swayam Krishna and performs his Gokul pastimes. Mm. That time in that day of Brahma.
So, you know, we can have different jivas then taking the position of Vini Upanishads because the attraction
yes.
of Jnana.
Yes, but what's the point?
That's what I'm just trying to clarify. Is it so?
Yes, but I would, in this case, when we're talking about the Shrutichari gopis and how they were previously Upanishads, I wouldn't put too much of an emphasis on their attraction or attachment to Gyan. Mm-hmm. Right? Otherwise, why are they gopis?
And after they become gopis, they stay gopis? Do they go back?
There's a statement, once you've tasted gopi, you never go back. You know, so you have to understand what we're dealing with.
Because Lord Shiva became a gopi, you know, and then he went back.
But he's Purusha, you can't not be that.
Even Narad Muni became a gopi. Then again.
Yeah, but he's a jiva, so there's no problem in him being a gopi. He is a gopi. See, that's why Narad Muni is so special, because he's there in all the rasas, and he's there in all the pastimes, everywhere. It doesn't matter. Like, if Narad Muni shows up in Ramachandra pastimes, do we have a problem?
No.
What about in Dwarka?
No.
What about in Vrindavan?
No.
You understand? What about in Gokul? There's no problem. He shows up everywhere. He's connected with all the rasas and all that. Now, if Garuda shows up in Vrindavan, or Hanuman shows up in Vrindavan, we got a problem. I was told by one devotee that there's one pastime described where suddenly all these different pastimes, Vrindavan and Ayodhya and Dwarka and like all came together at one time. And Krishna didn't know what to do, so he had to hide under a bed because no one could figure out. Because each one thinks Krishna's supposed to do this and that. So Yogamaya somehow or another arranged that. But I don't know where it is. I forgot to ask him. He didn't mention, but it's been so long ago. I heard this like 20 years ago. But they said that there's one, I think one Purana or something that tells this pastime. It's a short thing. It's just that they all came together. So yeah, so there are certain things that just go together. So Narad Muni fits into anything, anywhere, at any time. That's the thing. Other than a specific time, this, that. Narad Muni is like the universal devotee. That's why when it says Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, then it means, Srivas Adi means, the Gaur Bhakta means headed by Srivas, because he is, you could say, the universal, devotee. Is that, yeah, so. Okay? Yeah. So he is a gopi, yes. Not that he becomes a gopi and he stops being a gopi. He is a gopi. No. Okay, Sukadev Goswami continued. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for whom the great masters of mystic meditation arrange a seat within their hearts, took a seat in the assembly of gopis. His transcendental body, the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within the three worlds, shone brilliantly as the gopis worshipped him. Right? So the great masters of mystic yoga, they're able to create a seat within their heart, but Krishna will come and sit. But here, that's not the case. He's coming, he's sitting with them, right? As Prabhupada will explain. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna seated himself beside each of the many gopis, right? So he came as one person, but then as he interacts, then he expands and he's with each gopi. So when it says they put down their claws, it didn't mean that out of the millions of gopis, they had this huge monster pile of shawls there, and Krishna had to climb up on the top there, It's like that. Each gopi is thinking Krishna's sitting just with her. Right? Just like the cowherd boys. Here it's that the cowherd boys, he's sitting in the middle, it's just him, but each cowherd boy thinks he's interacting just with him. But it's one Krishna. But here Krishna actually expands to interact with each gopi.
So this is a Prakash manifestation.
Yeah. Prakash. Yeah. Okay. Prakash means same mood. Same form, same mood.
Same form.
Is this because they're girls and those are boys?
Yeah, because boys is just, that's all the boy you have to do, right? Girls, then you have to get more interactive. See, higher demands. Krishna seated himself beside each of the many gopis, and it may be asked herein, how did he do this? There is a significant word in this verse, Ishvara. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara refers to the Supreme Lord as the Supersoul seated in everyone's heart. Krishna also manifested this potency of expansion as Paramatma in the gathering with the gopis. Krishna was sitting by the side of each gopi, unseen by the others. Krishna was so kind to the gopis that instead of sitting in their hearts to be appreciated in yogic meditation, he seated himself by their sides. By seating himself outside, he showed special favor to the gopis, who are the selected beauties of all creation. Right? So, means of all creation, that means all creation. That means within the whole material, the whole Mahatattva, the whole of Vaikuntha, the whole of Dwarka, Mathura, then these are the select, they're the most attractive manifestations of his potency in the cosmos. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns the rest of this chapter, 15 to 22, to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhurima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. Because right? Here, then, we just see is the taste of the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. Sukadev Goswami continued. Sri Krishna had awakened romantic desires within the gopis, and they honored him by glancing at him with playful smiles, gesturing amorously with their eyebrows, and massaging his hands and feet as they held them in their laps. Even while worshipping him, however, they felt somewhat angry, and thus they addressed him as follows. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. They felt anger because though he previously abandoned him, now he has come for his own enjoyment. Right, because they were together enjoying, and then he left, and now he's come back for his own purpose, right? So now they're angry. To hide that anger, they began to praise him. Taking his feet and hands, not hands. Okay, feet, so probably means both feet. You know, it's just like, I think it's some, get what language is in. I think in is it, what's the name? It's not, it's called pig, not pig Latin.
Pigeon
English, yeah. I think there is when you want to say, you say big, and when you want to say it's more big, you say big. You know, so here's a, maybe in that pursuance, then we're saying feet. Okay. So Krishna taking his, so began to praise him, taking his feet and hands in their lap, pleased with the touch of Krishna's hands and feet. They began to praise him. Oh, your feet and hands are extraordinarily cool, having relieved us of the painful fire of separation. Right? You are truly the pleasing moon who knows no distress or sorrow. You can already see the... After praising him with such sarcastic verses, they became slightly angry. Because by him coming, he has relieved their separation, but their point is why did they have to feel that separation in the first place? Right? They came out there to be with Krishna, he was with them, then he left. Right? And then who knows no distress or sorrow? One, from the angle of he knows no distress or sorrow, therefore by associating him, all your distress and sorrow go away. That's why by associating we lose all that material pain that we have from the material world. But another thing when they show he who knows no distress or sorrow, then means that he doesn't actually consider others. That would be that's why they say sarcastic. That is, their anger disappeared due to... After praising with such sarcastic verses, they became slightly angry. That is, their anger disappeared due to the natural bliss from seeing him, but a trace remained in their minds. In this mental state, they began to speak. So they had anger, but now by being with him relieving them of that, like they said, that there's only a little left. So they're saying it in such a way that it is a glory, but at the same time as they have other things to say. Verses 16 to 22, the science of affection. The gopis said, some people reciprocate the affection only of those who are affectionate towards them, while others show affection even to those who are indifferent or inimical, and yet others will not show affection towards anyone. Dear Krishna, please properly explain this matter to us. Right, so in other words, the self-centered, the selfless, and the Diogenes. Right, so we have these three. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, they asked the question in order to prevent him giving them up again and to negate his ingratitude. There are three questions. Please explain what these situations are or what their result is clearly. Thinking carefully about this, explain to us so that it is easily understood. Right, because from this, then he has to explain his position. And why he's dealing how he's dealing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, so-called friends who show affection to each other only to benefit themselves are actually selfish. They have no true friendship, nor are they following the true principles of religion. Indeed, if they did not expect benefit for themselves, they would not reciprocate. Right? So this is different from someone who's, you know, true friends who are there, you know, no matter what happens. Right? So whether they're doing it because they should do their duties nicely, and by doing their duties, then they'll get the benefit from the duties, or they see more from an art or niti platform, by interacting with them, I'll get the specific benefit from them. But we see that it's all based on what benefit they'll get. And if they don't see the benefit, then at least the lower two will give it up, and the one who's doing because of dharma, unless the dharma requires, then they won't interact. They have no true friendship, nor are they following the true principles of religion. Indeed, if they did not expect benefits for themselves, they would not reciprocate. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. In answer, Krishna said, My dear friends, persons who simply reciprocate the loving dealings of the other party are just like merchants. They give in loving affairs as much as they get from the other party. Practically, there is no question of love. It is simply self-interested or self-centered business dealing. Even those without a tinge of loving affairs are better than these merchants. Right? Because someone who just deals on a business way, you know it's business. Right? But then when you have the aspects of, dealing in this mercantile way, then you're dealing with them because you think you'll get some benefit. So that's considered worse. Right? Does that make sense? Because the other, it's clear. It's a cold relationship. You know, it's a give and take. It's exactly, you know what it is. You do, you know, what is it? I scratch your back, you scratch mine. You know, it's a straight up front business thing. And many times you see business people just to cut through all the, you know, whatever is the particular kind of, compost that they want to cut through. Then they just get down to that. You know, it's just, I have this to get, you know, you have yours to get, we can benefit each other, so let's just do based on that. Sometimes they'll do that. Sometimes they won't. They'll use all their politically correct jargon and try to pretend as if it's not that, but in reality, then generally the really good ones, they just cut through. Right? You know. Sri Krishna continued, "My dear slender waisted gopis, some people are genuinely merciful or, like parents, naturally affectionate. Such persons who devotedly serve even those who fail to reciprocate with them are following the true faultless path of religion. They are true well-wishers." So that's actually why one's supposed to perform all the religious acts. Because, one, it should be done because you want to do it. Right? It's the proper thing.
But that's dharma? That's level
yes,
of dharma?
Yes. Because the other one, then that's just business. Because from dharma you get artha, so they're only interested in the artha. That's the only reason they perform dharma. If they can get artha without dharma, they won't do it. Just like the modern society. It's a bourgeois society, because if I get the benefit, why do I need to perform the religious activity? So if you tell them you need to be religious, it's why I'm getting all the benefits. So.
And the first one is nitya? The previous one.
Yes. Well, I mean, niti or arta, depending upon how far they want to take it. Like that. But it's the same thing. You're looking at the benefit you're getting from it only. Then the second one is the dharma.
Right. Each person has an individual conditioned nature.
Mm-hmm.
Some are less selfish, some are more selfish.
So we can do nothing about it. So why are we getting blamed here?
That's exactly the point.
Why would Krishna even point this out? It's obvious.
No, he points it out for the gopis. That's their
question. Oh, okay, that's their business.
It has nothing to do with us.
But, you know, yeah, what has it got to do with us? You know, like that. Because the point is we're in it. What is defined by our nature is the situations we'll be in. And the tendency, how we'll react in those situations. Now, the situations we can't change, but we can change how we react in those situations. Right? So when we see that it's actually better to work on a dharmic rather than a mercantile position, then we may try. Not necessarily we're successful, but we try. And that will elevate the consciousness. You understand? Just like, I know I'm supposed to do this. So even though I would rather not, I do it anyway. So that I've made that effort, that starts to change the mentality. Right? The situations aren't going to change unless Krishna wants to change, but they're not going to change. Right? Because that's just coming from before. What facility we have, what kind of intelligence, mind, and that we have, but what we do with it, that's what we can change. Right? So the idea is, no, we can't change nature because we take it, what I do is nature. No, it's what you have is nature. You know what I'm saying? That the person is rich, that's nature. Right? Now, if he deals with the money properly or not, that's then defines what happens. Does that make sense? He may have a tendency, because in nature there's a tendency towards dealing properly with money or wasting money. So it's just a matter of whether he's going up on the cycle of samsara or down on the cycle of samsara. But at any point he could adjust that. But because of the modes of nature, then there's no reason to go beyond that because they don't see anything higher than the material. Therefore, people generally don't, and so they just go through the cycle of samsara as it's laid out. But by Krishna consciousness, we understand the higher principles. Therefore, we can change our perception on how we feel we should use what we're using. That's why it said the devotee can develop all the qualities of the demigod. It didn't say that only those, you know, yes, Brahman Vaishnavas can develop all the qualities of a demigod. No, it says the Vaishnavas. So the more they're advanced in devotional service, then the more these things work. So, okay, Srila Prabhupada says and continues in Krishna book, better than the first class is the second class of men who love in spite of the opposite party's contrariness. Such sincere love can be seen when the father and mother love their children in spite of their children's neglect. Right? Parents go through so much effort, they put something out there to eat, and then the kid doesn't care. Right? But they keep that affection. So that's better than those who just, how much they get, that's how much they reciprocate. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. Krishna here answers the second question. Those who respect those who do not give respect, who respect without expectations, are divided into two groups. Those with family relationship and those without family relationship and those with family relationship. Such as merciful persons and father and mother. The merciful persons are the pure devotees. Among these we see unconditional mercy arising in persons like Pallad. Both these types do not expect response, and the happiness and distress of the persons who do not respect them becomes the happiness and distress of the pure devotee and the mother and father. Right? So in this position we're not expecting something. So whatever is the happiness and distress of the person you're dealing with, that becomes your happiness. They're happy, you're happy. They're distressed, you're distressed. Right? Rather than coming into like the first group who comes in with their own purpose that they want to get a happiness out of this and not getting that they're distressed. Right? So, yeah. Even after death, they do not give up their respect. Among these, the pure devotees are the best, and the mother and father are second class. In both cases, dharma, being without desire for results, is permanent. Nira pavadaha, their prema, soridam, is also permanent. O beautiful women, sumadyama. Right? So, they're just talking about how they have that affection, whether Krishna has affection or not. So now you see he's comparing them to that position. Right? None of it, because they don't have a relationship as such as parents or family relationships, so there's no technical reason for that. So that means then they must be like the pure devotees, the great sages, who have that affection and deal properly despite the other party dealing or not dealing properly. Right? So therefore then they're he's comparing them in that way. Does this make sense? Sri Krishna continued, then there are those individuals who are spiritually self-satisfied, materially fulfilled, or by nature ungrateful, or simply envious of superiors. So you have, in this group, three groups. Now, the ones who are envious of superiors, then they will naturally try to make it look like that they're not ungrateful, or that they are just, you know, self-satisfied because they're materially fulfilled, when actually then they're not. Such persons will not love even those who have loved them. What to speak of those who are inimical? Right? So they just don't love anybody. Right? Srila Prabhupada continues in Krishna book. The third class neither reciprocates, because herein when we're going through, we're not talking about, we're just meaning here class meaning group, not meaning standard and order. Right? We're just talking about, they asked three questions, so it says the first group or the first class was this, second class was this, third class was this. The third class neither reciprocate nor neglect. They can be further divided into two classes. One comprises the self-satisfied who do not require anyone's love. They are called Atmarama, which means they are absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so do not care whether one loves them or not. But another class comprises ungrateful men. They are called callous. The men in this group revolt against superior persons. For instance, the son, in spite of receiving all kinds of things from loving parents, may be callous and not reciprocate. Those in this class are generally known as Guru Druha, which means they receive favors from the parents or the spiritual master, and yet neglect them. Krishna indirectly answered the questions of the gopis, even those questions which implied that Krishna did not properly reciprocate their dealings. In answer, Krishna said that he, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is self-satisfied. He does not require anyone's love, but at the same time, he said that he is not ungrateful, right? Because he's in that class of Atmarama. He's not in the class of ungrateful, because they're just putting it together as one unit, right? Like that, inferring he's ungrateful. But he's saying he's not ungrateful. He's just self-satisfied. So in this way, he answers all the gopis' questions. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.